Hello, everyone. Wonderful Wednesday to you. I know we're just halfway through the week, but we're going to keep on grinding and shining because that's just what we do. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and we've got a rendezvous with the news. Yesterday was Election Day in America. Millions of adults all across the country went to the polls to cast their votes for representatives in Congress, senators, and state and local officials. The results were still coming in when we produced this show. For the latest info, check out CNN.com, where results are updated in real time. But between early voting, which shattered state records in Georgia, and absentee ballots, and the sheer volume of votes on Election Day, it could be a while before we know who the winners are. All eyes are on the results in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, battleground states that Biden flipped to Democratic states in the 2020 presidential election, but now Republicans are hoping to gain control there. Experts say the 2022 midterm results could foreshadow the 2024 presidential contest. Polls indicate that most voters rank the economy as the number one issue on their minds, but women's rights, guns and public safety, as well as immigration and election security, are also major issues that are important to voters in this election. Let's hear now from Chief National Correspondent John King in the Election Center, who explains the early signs he's looking for as election results come in.
Let's start in the House.
435 races in all under new lines because of the census 2 years ago, the redistricting process. As you know better than anybody, they're not all competitive. So what we've done is we've identified, working with our partners at Inside and Elections, 82 competitive seats heading into Election Day. And as you can see, they are coast to coast. Another way to look at it, look at this just to understand, Democrats are on defense. It's a Democratic president's first midterm. It's a tough climate. Just look down here at the key. Yeah. Of these seats, 57 of the competitive seats have Democratic incumbents. Almost three times as many.
Almost three times as many
of Republicans. There are three new seats here, too, as you look at the map. So Democrats are on their heels, defending much more territory in a tough year. That's one way to look at it. Now let's bring it up. The big question is, who can get to 218, right? And in our rankings right now, we already have Republicans favored in 216 seats. Now, some of those are just barely favored. You see the lighter red on the map. But Republicans have a huge advantage going into Election Day. And if you look, Dana, you know the races very well. These toss-up races go coast to coast.
Let's look at the Senate. Obviously, right now, 50-50.
Right.
It could go so many different ways.
The chess game here, you can game it out reasonably. Democrats winning here, Republicans winning there, but 35 elections in all. Again, we've worked with our partners here to identify the competitive seats. 8 elections of the Senate we view as competitive. It could be more. Republicans think they could surprise us in some places. Of these 8, they're evenly divided now between held by Democrats or held by Republicans. Best way to look at this is to come into the balance of power as you come into the control right now. Again, Democrats enter the election 50-50. The Vice President of the United States breaks the ties. So Democrats can't afford to lose, essentially. And so you have the states on the map. If you come in now to how we rank them, the gold are the toss-up states. One is a Republican-held state right now. No incumbent, but Pennsylvania. Democratic incumbent in Georgia. Probably the most vulnerable Democratic incumbent. You were just out there in Nevada.
Yeah.
This is where
Patrick Cortez-Masto gets fascinating.
Yeah.
And so many, I mean, you're saying that these yellow are maybe the tightest. But that might belie what we're actually seeing on the ground, which is a wider swath of really, really tight races.
Right. It is possible. Again, we know these races are competitive, right? But we still tilt New Hampshire Democratic. Mm-hmm. Republicans think they can pick up that seat. We still tilt Arizona Democratic. Republicans think that one is within their reach. They say, watch. We still have this as likely Dem up in Washington State, in Colorado. Republicans say, keep an eye on everything. So you conceivably could get Republicans to 52 or 53. You can also get the Democrats to 51 or stay status quo at 50. Again, this race could decide the Senate in the end. Does anybody get above 50, or are we going another
month? Or are we going to be standing here in December?
On December 6th, but you were just out here. This is what Democrats worry about most. They view Catherine Cortez-Masto as the most vulnerable Democrat. And again, think about the math, right? We won't know that one because it's out west, right? The Democrats would love to pick up Pennsylvania as a safety valve, an insurance policy against maybe losing out in Nevada.
It is going to be a long and very exciting night.
Week.
Maybe week. John King, thank you.
Thank you.
10-second trivia. In what sport would you find a gully, sweeper, and a wicket keeper? Curling, bowling, cricket, or lacrosse? The answer here is cricket, in which the only fielder allowed to wear gloves is called the wicket keeper. Our next story involves the sport of cricket, but it's about so much more than the intricacies of the game. It showcases a much broader dynamic of sports and highlights the importance of camaraderie, lifting each other up, and setting aside differences to work together towards something greater than ourselves. Stefan Niro is visually impaired. He struggled to fit in, but his life changed when he found his squad, and he's gone on to shatter records.
Sport is, for me, is such a big part of my life. Like, I can't really understate it, to be honest. I never really connected with other people my age regarding, you know, just obviously other people who didn't have the same, obviously, psych condition as me. And I usually felt quite lonely in high school. Sport, I would say, really changed my life and really pushed me to realize that I do have a lot of potential. I'd say I flourished in a way. I became much more confident myself. Part of a family, you're part of a group. You all have dealt with the same experiences, you all can speak to each other, and that's something that I really needed when I was growing up, because I think without it I'd be in a much different situation without those kinds of experiences.
Bold. The Nero reverse sweeps that. Christian Dunn comes in, bold.
Once I hit the 200 mark, I was just like, okay, this is, you know, I can even make history here. When everyone was clapping as well, it was an amazing feeling to experience, and something I said I'll never forget for the rest of my life. Well, obviously, it wasn't just me, but it was the team and my coaching staff, everyone, my parents, everyone. But still, my name was said, Stefan Niro's made 309, so still a very special moment. The majority of people are obviously very, you know, impressed or saying, oh wow, you know, they realize this is game that I think it helps to kind of change people's minds a bit about what disability means as well. I did hear a few comments saying, oh, you know, it's just disability cricket, you know, that kind of thing. But like I said, a lot of people just making jokes about it as well, which happens, you know, that's the way it is on social media. After a while, just stopped looking at the comments and stuff as well, and just kind of just ignored it and said, you know what, this is something that I think is really positive for blind cricket, for people with disabilities in Australia as well. I always say, if you try something, you don't like it, then that's fine. At least you've tried it. You know, you've taken that first step. It probably will be the hardest thing you ever do, but once it happens and you're involved in that kind of group and that community, I think things get much easier and can be quite a really rewarding experience.
Today's 10 out of 10 story might cause an uproar, and I ain't even lying. The Oklahoma City Zoo needs names for its litter of African lion cubs, and it's asking the public to pick them. Born September 26th at the zoo's Lion Overlook habitat, these cute baby lions are the zoo's first in 15 years. Before the cubs are old enough to be put in public display, though, they need names. But before you toss out names like Santa Claus, Emperor, or Kitty Purry, you have to cast your vote on a pre-approved name on a list on the zoo's website. Shout out time now. High five and a high 10 to McClay Middle School in Tallahassee, Florida. Hope y'all have a happy day. And remember, happiness isn't some ideal that we have to chase or find or create. Happiness is right here, right now, whenever we choose to embrace it. Much love and many blessings. I'm Coy, and this is CNN 10.